The CBS soap opera, The Young and the Restless, celebrated 40 years on the air this week. The ABC soap opera, General Hospital, marked 50 years of daytime drama. But the number of people watching soap operas is on the decline, and several soap operas over the years have been laid to rest. But like so many soap opera characters, two canceled soaps are coming back to life, online. We will discuss this hour the future of the daytime drama and whether the internet will save the soap. Good morning. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It is 8 minutes past 6 o'clock on this Thursday, March 28th. All My Children and One Life to Live, canceled more than a year ago, are in production again and will debut on the online channel on April 29th. The online network. Will anyone be watching an old-fashioned format on a newfangled venue? We'll talk with an expert and we will wonder if you'll be watching. When these soaps are resurrected, are you or were you a fan of any soap opera? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. Our guest is Sam Ford, Director of Digital Strategy with Peppercom Strategic Communications and co-editor of The Survival of Soap Opera, Transformations for a New Media Era. He's also an affiliate with both the program in Comparative Media Studies at MIT and the Popular Culture Studies program at Western Kentucky University. Good morning.
Good morning. Nice to be here, Joy.
Thanks for joining us. Well, I'm going to lift the veil right away and in the spirit of full disclosure say that I was a fan of All My Children. I watched since high school. I watched on and off through college. I took a long period of time there where I wasn't watching, but when I picked up and started taping it and or you know on my VCR and then on my DVR, I hardly missed a beat, you know, after many, many years. Why did All My Children and One Life to Live go off the air?
It was certainly ratings, but also ratings coupled with the production costs. So while we do look at the production values of a soap opera as compared to a primetime show and can say it was considerably less, it's also a lot cheaper to air a talk show or reality programming that may have one, two, three, four personalities to pay versus a whole cast of known actors and the production schedule of doing an hour of television a day. So it was really with the ratings decline and the aging of the audience compared with the relative expense of producing the shows, networks have been eager to move to programming that might even not necessarily get better ratings, but would be a lot cheaper to make.
And the Chew is a lot cheaper than All My Children.
Absolutely. And, you know, I would argue also a show like The Chew that might garner some viewers, not necessarily quite as passionate. The upside for the network would be if they decide to cancel The Chew, they probably won't have anybody protesting their doors, even if some people casually have it on.
Yeah.
Doesn't have the same dedicated fan base.
Do you know, is The Chew doing fairly well or not?
You know, from what I understand with a lot of those shows, they do okay in the ratings, but in a lot of cases, no, you know, they're faring no better than the soaps did, in some cases worse. But again, that's not necessarily the reason they were put on, is to be a ratings juggernaut.
Right. So the fan reaction to the cancellation of All My Children and One Life to Live was protesters at the doors of the ABC execs?
And a lot of online campaigning and protesting. But, you know, maybe in some cases a little less than you would expect because it came after Guiding Light and As the World Turns had already been canceled as well. There was a little bit of almost an expectation that this news was being handed down. I think fans of All My Children in particular were probably upset because they had just moved production of the show the year before from New York to Los Angeles. They had the actors and a lot of the talent had moved out that way or were commuting to produce over there, and I think a lot of fans had thought that was a measure to save the show. And so we're a little taken by surprise when All My Children in particular was canceled so quickly after making a move like that.
Mm-hmm. And you mentioned lots of soaps before these two were canceled as well. What started the decline of the soap opera?
Well, if you look at the history of television, soaps ratings heydays on television was the 60s. And if you look at the long-term pattern of ratings, there's been a decline ever since. But perhaps not that surprising. There's been a decline in primetime television ratings since the 60s. Quite quick and steady that we see this happen over the course of decades. I think one of the true differences, though, is that as soaps hit a certain low point, there was no real there was a question of how low can it go, and a feeling of this continued steady decline. But there was also the question of target demographics, where all daytime shows are aimed at the same 18 to 34 year old, 18 to 49 year old female, and it wasn't just the decline in the overall audience, but also a decline in the audience who was the right age group.
That age group was out in the workforce and not home watching soaps.
That's one of the reasons. Typically, if you ask people in the soap opera industry why there has been a ratings decline, the three subjects that are brought up are the women going into the workforce increasingly, certainly the proliferation of choice during the day. So, when it was PBS, a soap opera, and a soap opera.
Yeah, and not 500 other channels. Yeah.
And not only 500 other channels, but the internet, DVR, DVD, streaming now, so many other things you can do in terms of media consumption during the day. The third one takes some people by surprise, but you'll hear it consistently from people in the soap opera industry when you ask what else helped precipitate the decline of soaps. It was O.J. Simpson.
How so?
During the O.J. Simpson trial, the soaps were preempted. All the networks for a while aired coverage all during the day of the O.J. Simpson trial, and it was unprecedented. While certainly in local markets in the past there had been interruptions, and of course national news for a day or 2 days, never for weeks had the soaps been taken off the air. And viewers didn't know when they were coming back. They didn't know when they were airing. Some TV shows would air the soaps at 2 in the morning. People got behind. People broke their habit of watching. And every one of the shows, when they came back, some of them, maybe approximately around 1 million fewer viewers when they returned to the air, never to return. Some of those viewers, just because they had missed some, they had broken the habit, et cetera. So a lot of people in the industry will point toward that moment in the mid-90s to say, there was a natural decline, but that sort of unnatural incident became sort of a real dropping off point for soaps.
So back to All My Children and One Life to Live, the twist here now is that after going off the air, I think it was in the fall of 2011, that's when it was announced they were being canceled, I think.
That's correct, and I believe, and I believe one of them went off the air toward the end of that year and the other one just into the new year.
Yeah.
So, a few months different.
And I know there certainly was some, negative fan reaction and protests and wanting to get these shows back on the air. And they are going to go back on the air, but they're going to go back online. Tell us how that evolved.
Well, it's been interesting. Toward the end of the news of their cancellation, word had come out they were going to go online. Fans, of course, were quite excited, and a lot of people were taken by surprise. And then the deal fell through. And the deal fell through for a couple of different reasons. One would just be lack of funding, that, as you might imagine, the narrative most people tell of soap operas that they're all going off the air, that it's a genre of a previous era, wasn't necessarily the easiest to get backing behind. The other was the business model that had been set up for network television soap operas. So you're going to Writers Guild and Directors Guild and the other unions and saying we're going to keep these shows on the air, but, you know, we're going to pay the talent a whole lot less. The business model obviously shifts when you move online. So I think those plans were announced prematurely and then had to be suspended. So fans had sort of thought that was the end of the story. But in true soap opera fashion, there's always new turns and twists. And then unexpectedly, you know, when a lot of people had kind of written off the chance that these shows would ever return, news surfaces again at the beginning of this year that all systems are go, and production began for both All My Children and One Life to Live in Connecticut last month, and both shows are returning to the air next month in April.
Yeah, the April 29th. I can tune in, and it'll pick up right where it left off, as far as we know.
Well, in the case both of them, there will be a gap or delay, I believe. I believe One Life to Live's gap will just sort of be a real-time gap. In All My Children's case, they are skipping 5 years. Kind of help reset.
Wait a minute.
The storyline.
Who got shot at the end of that last episode?
Well, and of course, you know, that also allows them to do, you know, there are going to be a couple of actor changes here and there. Certain scenarios they may have sort of ended the show with some closure on that needs to be complicated a bit, so the five-year delay might help them creatively make some of those changes.
Well, we have to take a short break, and then we will talk more about whether the internet will save the soap opera. Can this be successful? All My Children and One Life to Live, two long-running soaps on ABC, canceled more than a year ago, now resurrecting and coming back online. Wondering if you are going to be watching. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine, and our weather forecast for today, it's going to be mostly sunny in the morning, then becoming a partly cloudy day statewide. Highs will be in the low to mid 40s. That's right, 40s. We're finally getting into some normal temperatures for March on this Thursday, March the 28th. Coming up later today, it's At Issue with John Munson. Coming up after 3, from our nation's banks to our personal computers, cyber attacks seem to be more prevalent than ever. John Munson and his guest will take a look at the world of cybersecurity after 3 o'clock this afternoon. Right now, we are talking about the past, the present, and the future of soap operas, daytime dramas. Talking about this for a couple of reasons. First, two soaps, All My Children and One Life to Live, which went off the air last year, are coming back on the air online, actually. They are going to be on the online network, and we're talking with a guest about whether this is going to work or not. Also, talking a little bit about the past of the soap opera, the present as well. This week, two soap operas celebrated milestones. The General Hospital turned 50. The Young and the Restless turned 40. So how come these soaps are still on the air, and are they on life support? And we welcome your thoughts and questions about soap operas, past, present, or future, and wondering if you are planning on tuning in online. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org or post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. Our guest is Sam Ford. He is co-editor of The Survival of Soap Opera, Transformations for a New Media Era. So, Sam, what about, I wanted to, before we go into more of the online stuff, how come The Young and the Restless and General Hospital are celebrating these longtime birthdays?
Well, the two of those shows, as well as The Bold and the Beautiful and Days of Our Lives, remain on network television. And sort of across the board, we have seen some modest increases in ratings for those shows. there's been a lot of conjecture about why that might be. In some cases, it might be that fans of the soap opera genre who had their show canceled had decided to check out another show. It might just be that those shows in particular have been more consistently keeping their fans happy with certain stories and certain characters being pushed to the forefront in a way that's keeping viewers sticking around. But, you know, it goes to show you there certainly is still an audience for soap opera, that this is a genre that isn't just a genre of the past, but still has an audience. And and in the case of All My Children, One Life to Live, I think it shows us that at least at this point, there's at least enough of a market for some experimentation as those shows go off the air for 2 years, and there's still a fan base very actively petitioning for their return.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and so with a slight ratings uptick for these other two that had their milestones this week anyway, they are not on life support. That they could be around. They say they want to be around for another 40 years. Is that possible?
Absolutely. I mean, you can look at the history of soaps, the fact that this is a genre that began in the 1930s, that made the transition from radio to television, pioneered in many ways the transition from radio to television for the television industry, that they had this genre and these properties that could transfer over. The Guiding Light was a radio soap that began in 1937, transitioned in the early 50s to television, and lasted up until just a few years back. So you can see in a story like that, a soap opera that reached well past its 70th anniversary. So these are shows that when that show went off the air, was it a cancellation that signaled the end of something, or is it quite amazing that a show's on the air for 70 some years?
Right.
And so I think now we're in an era of digital distribution. Perhaps it's not so surprising to see the soap opera genre being one of the genres that's really fueling some of the experimentation with what an online business model might look like. But it's not only these two properties transferring over. Much of the talent, a lot of the talent from soaps that have been canceled, have turned their energies toward creating original online series. So there is a proliferation of what a lot of people consider indie soaps being distributed digitally, and I think hopefully these shows, All My Children, One Life to Live, will learn not just from their history as soaps, but maybe some of this experimentation that other online series are doing in terms of how it might look, feel, and operate slightly differently in a digital environment.
Yeah, I'm so out of it. So there are some independent soaps out there right now being distributed digitally.
Absolutely, and winning awards. There are awards now for independent soaps. You can look at We Love Soaps, which is a prominent online website in particular that tracks and keeps up with indie dramas and their development, and gives you a good sort of good news resource for a starting point to check out some of these shows.
Well, so what? What does a grandma like me have to do? I'm not really a grandma, but I mean a lot of people that were watching All My Children and One Life to Live. What do we have to do if we want to? What is the online network?
So it is produced through a distribution partnership with the website Hulu and iTunes distribution service. So in the case of Hulu, ad-supported free episodes that can be watched on a daily basis. In the case of iTunes, being able to subscribe to that content. So starting on in late April, there's going to be a new episode posted online, 30 minutes long, each day, each weekday. So the same distribution timing of the traditional network soap opera airing online, with a new episode posted each day, it'll be 30 minutes instead of an hour. But when soaps were in their heyday on television, the 1960s, all soaps were 30 minutes long. So in some ways, a return to an older format.
Yeah, and I can just tune in online anytime I want. I don't have to. It doesn't have to be noon.
Exactly, and so you have the ability certainly to catch up on a few episodes at once. The viewing experience, while they are trying to mimic the feel for those who want it, of a new installment each day. The viewing experience is up to you. And I think they're sort of banking on that being more feasible in a digital era, just as a lot of people now watching the daytime soaps are doing so on DVR.
Yeah, and is there a subscription fee for this?
So it is, if you watch it on Hulu, there's no fee to be paid. It will be ad-supported, though. So you'll have to deal with the same commercial breaks you would deal with on television. There's also Hulu Plus, which is the subscription fee that limits some of the commercial interruption. That is for a subscription fee, and if you want to watch it on iTunes as well. I don't know the exact pricing structure for those, but those would be ad-free, but for a fee.
And you can't fast-forward through those ads.
Yeah, on Hulu you can't fast forward through those ads. So, but they're much fewer in number than on network television. The ad breaks aren't as long.
Yeah, and we have just a minute before we need to take a news break. Is it your thought that this can be successful for All My Children and One Life to Live?
I think it absolutely can be. I mentioned earlier the reasons the soap opera industry cites for the cancellation of these shows and the decline in ratings. There's another reason. I feel like the daytime television industry panicked when ratings were declining throughout the 80s and started to focus their soaps more exclusively to only appeal to a younger demographic in a way that alienated some of their long-term viewers. So you can see a narrative from the 80s on of soaps sort of having a pattern of pushing beloved characters to the background, constantly bringing on new young faces and viewers who are very frustrated.
I'm going to hold you there because I want to pick up on this point after we check the news. We're talking about the future of the soap opera after this news. Two long-running daytime soap operas will return from the dead next month. The ABC soaps, One Life to Live and All My Children, canceled in 2011, will return on April 29th, courtesy of the Online Network. And we are talking with a guest this hour about whether the internet will save the soap opera. Are you a soap opera fan? Are you planning on catching the return of All My Children or One Life to Live on Hulu? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. And maybe if you're not a soap opera fan, you can tell us if you do more of your television watching, so to speak, online, on the internet, on Hulu. Do you prefer this to the old-fashioned way of watching TV? I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It is coming up now on 6:37 on this Thursday, March the 28th. We are talking with Sam Ford, Director of Digital Strategy with Peppercom Strategic Communications and co-editor of The Survival of Soap Opera, Transformations for a New Media Era. He's also an affiliate with both the Program in Comparative Media Studies at MIT and the Popular Culture Studies Program at Western Kentucky University. And Sam, we were talking about what it's going to take for One Life to Live and All My Children to be successful as online programs before we checked news. And you said that that the producers should be concerned about storyline in these new soaps online.
Yeah, I think it's really what draws people to soap operas are not the production values, are not even the plot. I would argue, although the plots can be quite colorful and outlandish, but it's really the characters and the relationships those characters have to one another. In the course of a soap opera, marriages come and go, outlandish storylines come and go, and what we really watch is for the effects it has on the whole community and the ways multiple generations of a family relate to one another and the changing dynamics of long-term friendships. And if you really talk to any long-term soap opera fan, even if they don't state that so overtly, their joy of watching the show starts to come through as they talk about certain characters, certain friendships, certain relationships, how they've evolved over time. And one of the difficulties soap operas have faced is as the ratings slid, they were bringing on new faces, trying to youthen up the show, especially to get that target demographic up, because that's how their advertising model was built. And that became a challenge in retaining the enthusiasm of their longest watching viewers. Why did that? You've made your confession earlier. My confession is I was a lifelong fan of As the World Turns.
Mm-hmm.
And why did I watch As the World Turns in particular? It was my grandmother's story. It was the soap opera my mom grew up watching. So thus, it was the soap opera I grew up watching. It was on in the household. I caught it summers when I was home from school. Eventually got interested enough and had my mom tape it and caught during the school year when I came home. And even as your story went, even as I got away from the show from time to time, would get back into it and could always ask mom, what had happened? What did I miss?
Yeah, that is a great
why
story.
Why X with Y? And as these soaps only thought about attracting college students or young adults and didn't care so much about the mom and grandma, I feel like they ran off their recruitment and maintenance mechanism for actually keeping those young viewers in a way that's helped lead to the decline of the soap opera. So my question would be, is the online business model one in which they can find value not just for young viewers but for their whole viewing base and consider soap operas like sports properties, for instance, multi-generational programming rather than a primetime show that may only be a teen drama or may only be aimed at one demographic?
Is watching TV online, like on Hulu, is this something that aging baby boomers are doing?
Increasingly so. Mm-hmm. And I think the hope would be, especially as the ease of technology allowing us to watch programming online becomes so pervasive, the access to Wi-Fi, the way that devices so easily let you convert Hulu to your television set. You know, a lot of TVs and DVD players now include Hulu and iTunes as part of the interface, so you don't even have to be watching it on the computer. That a show like this might drive even people who haven't watched online distribution of television shows before, try it out.
Yeah.
Maybe with their children or grandchildren's help in some cases of setting it up.
Well, I do know that I'm going to check out, especially all my children. I have some friends who used to work at public radio who are also going to be tuning in. So I know that this is not just something for one specific demographic. It seems to me, I remember reading about the Milwaukee Brewers were big fans of All My Children when they'd be on their away games and things like that. And a wide variety of people. Who watches All My Children or One Life to Live? I mean, what is there a demographic, or was it wide-ranging?
It's wide-ranging, and that's actually been one of the problems, I would argue, with the soap opera business model, that even to this day, the network television pitch for soap operas is still built on that young housewives model and the idea of attracting people to your soap brand. Even take the term soap opera and its origins.
That's right. Yeah.
Attract the young housewife to your soap brand, and she'll be a lifelong consumer of Ivory. That model doesn't even necessarily make sense, I would say, in today's advertising marketplace, but it's how the soaps have been sold. I mean, I don't know the exact numbers, but probably a third of some soap opera viewers' viewership is male.
Yeah.
So, certainly a lot of soap opera viewership is over the age of 49. And in the target demographic model, you would say those viewers are not worth anything, because that's not who you're selling to the advertiser. But of course, those viewers are quite passionate, and I would argue byproducts just like anybody else. So I think along with switching to an online business model comes some chances to experiment with and play around with how you reach the viewer and how you define the viewer.
Yeah. So what do you know about that? You said that, like, for instance, All My Children's going to pick up 5 years later. Do you have any other inside information on the storyline and whether it's going to be doing what you say it should be doing if it wants to be successful?
It's hard to say. You know, they've announced the talent who's going to be joining the show. Continuing to announce people who are returning for the show, that sort of thing. But they haven't given a lot of detail yet.
Yeah.
They have, you know, a lot of the people working on the show are veterans of the soap opera industry. On the other hand, this is a new production company that wasn't one of the old players of producing soaps who've come in for this. So hope is that along with this innovative distribution model, they have some innovative ideas about how to tell the stories in a dynamic way.
Well, some things don't change. I think I don't know the name of the actor who played Dixie Martin, but she like died 3 or 4 times and came back to life. And I think she had died at the end of All My Children last time, and she's coming back. So I don't know how they're going.
She is. Katie McLean will be back, and Katie is an actress, for instance, who has been writing and thinking deeply about the survival of soap opera. And, I feel like some of the talent who agreed to sign on and come back for a show like this are people willing to take a risk and try to take soap operas into a new place. I mean, you can look back at the energy of the soap opera industry and the number of people who said the transition from radio to television wouldn't work.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like soap operas are at that sort of pivotal moment again. I mentioned earlier most soap operas were 30 minutes back in the 60s. They were also really low budget. They were live. They were like stage plays. And if you watch old soap operas from the 60s, you know, it was taped live every day, so there wasn't a lot of, there weren't any outdoor scenes, there weren't any explosions. And that was when soaps were at their most popular. So I would argue soaps do well. We have a history of proving soaps do well with spending next to nothing on production.
Yeah.
It's really the characters, the actors, the dialogue, and those sorts of scenes.
And certainly maybe the production values are higher during prime time, but there are the soap opera story is hugely, you know, popular. I mean, it's all over prime time and HBO and everywhere, isn't it?
Absolutely. You look at, even if we go back to the early 80s and look at daytime dramas versus primetime genres, one of the main things that set them apart was the daytime show was always to be continued, focused on the character's development over time, and most primetime series was tabula rasa. Things seemed to reset themselves each new episode, and there was very little continuity from one episode to the next. And that soap opera model of storytelling, a focus on characters rather than plot and a focus on to be continued and intense serialization, comes to define what we consider quality primetime dramas today. You could say that Breaking Bad is a soap opera about the methamphetamine industry, mm-hmm. and that The Walking Dead is a soap opera about zombies.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Debbie in Onalaska emails, my grandma and my mom both watched Days of Our Lives religiously, but I never understood the appeal of soap operas. One reason I would guess that ratings are hard to come by is because it takes so long for a plot to progress. Why do the storylines move so slowly, and how do people find them compelling enough to keep tuning in every day?
It's a great question, and I think points toward why soap operas have faltered, but for a different reason than you might think. Soap operas, the pleasure of watching a soap opera is less about what happens, but how the community reacts and responds. So one of the reasons soap opera plots traditionally move so slow is you have an action take place But the action isn't really what people are watching for. You want to then see what happens as news of this event spreads across town. How does it affect and impact everybody's life? How does each character react to it? Because this is a show that focuses on the actors' lines of delivery, the writing of the show, close-up shots of people's faces. It is really a show about talking. And I would argue that soaps felt that same sort of pressure that not enough was happening, and over the course of the last 20 years have tried to speed that up in ways that still didn't attract viewers like the person who wrote in, but also alienated the people who were watching for that sort of slow-building drama.
Yeah, I did read that they're trying to speed things up with the plots, and I guess I noticed that a little bit. And that was with the thought that our shorter attention spans, we'd like that, but you think that was a mistake?
I do, because mm-hmm. I don't think soap operas, one I mentioned from the 80s on, soap operas had tried to change things up to appeal to a younger demographic, and one of the things they've done is tried to mimic what works well on primetime. Ironically, at the same time, the most critically acclaimed primetime shows slowed down the pace. You know, you could watch a show like, certainly like the Treme or The Wire on HBO, the pacing is very slow and really focuses on the impact events have on characters, mm-hmm. et cetera. That was really, it seems like, the pleasure derived from watching a soap opera. It was said of As the World Turns in the 50s when it debuted, nothing happened for the first 6 months.
Yeah.
It was just characters sitting around the living room and kitchen talking, and they slowly let us get to know these people. And that ends up being sort of the pleasure derived from deep, intense soap opera fans.
We are talking with Sam Ford. He is the co-editor of The Survival of Soap Opera, Transformations for a New Media Era. And we're talking about the future of the soap opera, especially with the news that two canceled soaps, All My Children and One Life to Live, which went off the air in 2011, are coming back. Last month, these shows started filming again, and there are plans to release the new shows this spring on April 29th on the online network. And we're welcoming your thoughts and questions about this. Were you excited to hear this? Are you planning on watching All My Children or One Life to Live? Will the internet save the soap opera? What is the appeal of the soap opera anyway? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Stay with us here on the Ideas Network. Coming up after 7 o'clock, we'll welcome in columnist Eugene Kane, who has some things to say about an advisory referendum that is on the ballot in Milwaukee and in Dane County. Voters will be asked if Wisconsin should continue to allow same-day voter registration. That's coming up after 7 o'clock. We are talking about the future of the soap opera with Sam Ford. He is co-editor of The Survival of Soap Opera, Transformations for a New Media Era. And let's go to the phones and take Carrie in Burlington. Hi, Carrie.
Hi there. Good morning. Thank you for taking my call.
Yeah.
So I have a question about, you know, the first two that went off the air, the Guiding Light and As the World Turns. Do you think there might be any way of those being revived on the internet if this other program is a success?
Yeah. Any more, do you think, Sam?
It is the sort of question that soap opera fans of shows past are certainly asking themselves. I feel that it will be a challenge for the shows who've been off the air for 3-4 years to get the same sort of deal. But in both those cases, Guiding Light and As the World Turns are shows that were owned by Procter & Gamble up until their cancellation. They literally were soap operas still. And Procter & Gamble obviously has no further plans for those properties. So if these shows, these revivals of soap operas are intensely successful, there's always the possibility someone might come along and offer Procter & Gamble some money to take these properties online in a way that could work quite well. I mean, we've seen in primetime television just recently, Veronica Mars, a show that's been off the air for several years, get brought back through a Kickstarter campaign. Fans agreeing to, in this case, fund a movie adaptation or continuation, rather, of that show. And it raised $2 million over the course of a couple of days. And from an intense fan base who said, you know, they would self-fund the production costs of bringing it back and get a free copy in return. People were pledging something like $35 each toward the movie. And so, you know, there's always a possibility of this becoming a model, not just for soap operas in particular, but for a lot of other shows. Arrested Development, which is was a popular situation comedy amongst a cult audience but never gained widespread fame and was eventually canceled, is going to be coming back on Netflix. Based on the fact that it had intense ongoing fan support, and Netflix picked up on that, saw how high the viewership for the old episodes were on Netflix, and struck a deal to distribute new episodes.
Yeah, so this might not just be the future of the soap opera, but the future for a lot of television viewing.
Absolutely, and to your, you know, again, as the World Turns fan, I would love nothing more in the world to see that show return at some point. But I think people should be interested in this question, not just in terms of people who like soap operas in particular, those shows, but the question really of how are we funding entertainment content in a digital era? Might this provide new ways of distribution, new ways of access to content, or new ways to revive old entertainment properties?
We have a listener who emailed, "My brother-in-law is from Mexico, and their whole family is really into Spanish soap operas. They tell me the Spanish soap operas are popular with their friends. Are telenovelas experiencing the same loss of viewership as soaps in the U.S?"
They are not. And there are a few reasons why. They air in primetime.
Okay.
They have a different focus in terms of where they stand in the culture. I would argue that soap operas were often marginalized culturally because they were seen as women's television, that there is a gender dynamic that takes part in the way soap operas are talked about and treated in our culture that the telenovela does not have as part of it. Also, telenovelas are novellas. They tell stories that may last a year or 2 years, so they air several nights a week, but they have a definitive beginning, middle, and end.
Yeah. Well, we're just about out of time. How long before we see about every soap opera going online eventually? Do you think that's going to happen?
I think it's going to be something much larger than the soap opera, as we've been talking mm-hmm. about. We're seeing House of Cards as a quite acclaimed primetime drama that didn't air in primetime at all. It was completely distributed on Netflix. And I think we're going to see more and more not just experimental television, but critically acclaimed, potential Emmy-winning sort of content not be on television at all in the traditional sense. And that will change, I think, our notions of what television is. So to see these properties, All My Children and One Life to Live, that have been around since 1968 and early 1970s, now going online, I think is a major milestone in what will eventually come to be written as digital television history or digital video series.
Well, I'm looking forward to it, and I'll be rooting for you for As the World Turns, okay?
Much appreciated.
Sam Ford, our guest, co-editor of The Survival of Soap Opera. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network.